الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر: والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك أصحاب الجنة هم فيها خالدون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أحب دنياه أضر بآخرته، ومن أحب آخرته أضر بدنياه، فآثروا ما يبقى على ما يفنى. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من دعا إلى هدى كان له من الأجر مثل أجور من تبعه، لا ينقص ذلك من أجورهم شيئا، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. My respected elders and brothers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Zat and that being who has blessed us with the greatest bounty that anybody can receive, and that is the bounty of Iman. May Allah ta'ala keep us with Iman, grant us the tawfiq and the ability to fulfill the dictates of Iman, to obey every command of His, to follow every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when that very important moment of our life, the most crucial moment of our life, the last moment of our life comes, may Allah ta'ala take us away with perfect Iman. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah with the people of perfect Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us another opportunity. Allah ta'ala has allowed us to wake up this morning with Iman. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in the Mubarak Ahadith that when a person wakes up in the morning, then he should recite this dua: Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. From the time we wake up, the first words that should come on our tongue is the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That being who has granted us life after death. Sleep is a temporary death. Person goes to sleep. There are two categories of people that go to sleep. One category are those who go to sleep but will not wake up again. And there are another category like us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give another opportunity. Allah ta'ala speaks about both these groups in Quran. Allah يتوفى الأنفس حين موتها والتي لم تمت في منامها ويمسك التي قضى عليها الموت ويرسل الأخرى إلى أجل مسمى. Some the lives will be taken away in the sleep, and some will be granted another opportunity to fulfill that amount of time that Allah has destined for them in this world. So Allah has given us another opportunity. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us life after death. But in this dua also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reminding us, وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ, that one day we all are going to go to sleep, and we're only going to wake up to stand up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. There is another sunnah dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we should all strive to learn. Our ulama-i kiram, our elders, have emphasized repeatedly, and also emphasized in the jur, that we should have this desire to learn about our deen. And one great means of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one great means of getting close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is via the sunnah du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every day, if not every day, every week, every month, at least you should learn one new du'a. So there is one sunnah du'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he used to recite in the morning. One is the du'a we just read, which we all have heard and learned from our maktab days. But there is another du'a which is not so common, but we should all strive to learn. Alhamdulillahi alladhi aafani fi jasadi. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has granted us afiyat, sound health in our body. وَرَدَّ عَلَيَّ رُوحِي, who has returned our soul to us. As the first dua also mentions, our ruh was taken away. Now Allah ta'ala returned it to us, gave us another opportunity. وَأَذِنَ لِي بِذِكْرِهِ, and Allah ta'ala has given us permission to remember Him. This ability to wake up for tahajjud salah, to wake up for fajr salah, to put our foreheads in sajda in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to sit for a little while in the path of Allah, in the house of Allah, to listen to the words of Allah, this is the bounty of Allah, this is the permission of Allah. No one can take any step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with the permission of Allah. So we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah is that being who has granted us the permission to remember Him. And from the time we wake up in the morning, the first is our niyat, our intention. The intention has to be akhirat, the intention has to be the real life, not the life of this world. In the ayat of Quran which I read in the khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ,
The one who intends the hereafter. This has to be the focus. This has to be the start of our day. Every day we wake up in the morning. What is the focus? What is the goal? What is the destination? Is the destination dunya? Is the destination acquiring more of the world? Is the destination increasing the bank balance? Or is the destination, is the goal, the worry, the concern, akhirat? That how this day can be one day closer to get to the akhirat. One day to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do those a'mal, those actions that will take us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to refrain from those actions which will distance us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the time we wake up in the morning, the goal, the focus has to be akhirat. This was Sahaba radiallahu anhum, as we heard last night in the Maghrib Bayan also, in the Isha Ayatul Sahaba also. What was the Sahaba radiallahu anhum's focus when they woke up in the morning? Haritha radiallahu anhu, when Rasulullah s.a.w. woke him up, what was his focus? He said he has true iman. Nabi s.a.w. asked him for a proof. First was azab. Azafat nafsi ani dunya. Tension was away from the dunya towards akhirat. Another narration, Hayatul Saba, immediately after this incident is mentioned, is the mention of the incident of Mu'adh bin Jabal, the Mufti of the Ummah. Rasulullah also asked him the same question one day, that how did he wake up this morning? He also claimed perfect iman. Nabi Sallallahu also asked him for proof. What was his proof? He said, I do not pass the morning with this conviction that I will reach the evening. I do not pass the evening with this conviction that I will reach the morning. I do not take one step except I do not have guarantee of the next step. As if I can see the people on the day of Qiyamah, all the nations coming behind their leaders. This was the focus of the Sahaba. That the focus when they, from the time they woke up in the morning, was akhirat. That how today can be that one more day which I get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one more day that I can become distant from the fire of Jahannam. So this is the first thing that we have to worry about, the niyat, the intention. I will only say with regards to intention, one is you have to maximize the amount of intentions you make. For one two rakat salah, we can make up to 10 intentions. So then maximize the amount of intention. And also maximize the scope of our intention. One is the person makes niyat for himself only. One is the person makes niyat for the people around him only. But one is to make niyat for that last person to be born before Qiyamah. One occasion, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was going to give the Jummah Bayan. His respected father, Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was a reviver of this Mubarak effort, he asked him, that what is your intention to give this bayan, this Jummah bayan? So he said, I made intention for the people that I'm going to speak to. So Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali told him, why didn't you make niyat for the last person to come till Qiyamah? Based on your niyat, you will get the full reward right till the person who comes before Qiyamah. So every amal of ours, not only to intend ourselves, through our amal, how deen can come in our life, in the life of the people around us, until the day of Qiyamah, every person. This niyat is a very, very important aspect of our effort. And according to the niyat, Allah will cheat us. We all have heard many times. The first hadith in many of the hadith kitabs is إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that our amal are based on the intention. According to the intention, would be the reward. Person has to make intention when he wakes up in the morning every day that today is going to be one more day how I can get close to Allah. Not only how I can get close to Allah, how I can make such an effort that every human being can get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the morning when you wake up, the worry and concern has to be akhirat. Not only my akhirat, not only my qabr, not only my hashar, but how the qabr and the hashar of every single human being, every single person to be safe on the fire of Jahannam, every single person to be successful in akhirat. So from the worry and concern has to be from the morning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ, the one who intends the hereafter. Thereafter, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا, and according to his niyat, he makes effort. One is to make niyat of akhirat, but make effort for dunya. Then the effort is not supporting the niyat. So one is in conformity with the niyat to make effort. And together with this iman, without iman there is nothing. The foundation of everything is iman. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُرًا. Allah Ta'ala says, then this person's effort is greatly appreciated in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very appreciative. Little effort we make, Allah will give us much more in reward. Person made niyat to do good deed, didn't do the good deed, he got a reward already. He does the good deed, 10 times minimum will be the reward. And it will increase according to the person's effort, according to the person's ikhlas and sincerity. So how every day in the morning the intention can become correct. During the day, the amal can be in conformity with the niyat. The worry that our iman has to be intact. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us reward. The mufassirin write under this ayat, there are 3 qualities that are required. Niyatun sadiqatun, a true niyat, true intention. Imanun sabitun, firm iman. وعمل مصيب an action which is conformity to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah Ta'ala will accept and Allah Ta'ala will reward us. So this worry and concern from the morning that how we can, today can be that day to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first worry and concern is to be iman. That how, what is the condition of my iman? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, despite being the greatest of the great, after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, no one like the Sahaba stepped foot on this earth. They have been guaranteed jannah, guaranteed acceptance in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Why is they walking on the surface of this earth? But what was their worry and concern? Ibn Abi Mulaika, rahimahullah, he said, I met 30 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Every single one of the Sahaba had one worry and concern. His fear was that he had nifaq. He had fear that his iman was not true. Despite having all the accolades, all the guarantees, they had worry and concern about the iman. Today we have no accolade, we have no guarantee, we only have hope in Allah's mercy. But would that there is our worry and concern like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Umar radiallahu anhu, the Sahabi who accepted iman, 40th, the 40th Sahabi to accept iman. But the Sahabi who came was second in the Ummah. What was his condition? We have heard about his accolades. Such a great Sahabi, Nabi SAW mentioned, لَوْكَانَ بَعْدِ نَبِيٌ لَكَانَ عُمَرْ. If there will be a Nabi after me, it will be Umar. Nabi SAW mentioned that even Umar takes one part, Shaitan takes another part. In the hadith, Nabi SAW also mentioned regarding a Qurayshi Sahabi, a Qurayshi will get a certain palace in Jannat. The Sahaba thought he was referring to himself, he was referring to Umar radiallahu anhu. Like this, the accolades are many. But what was the condition of Umar radiallahu anhu at the time of his death? His head is on the lap of his son Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu tells Abdullah bin Umar, his son, that put my head on the ground in the dust. Very reluctantly the son accedes to the request of the father, and when his head is in the ground, he rubs his head in the dust and he says, وَيْلٌ لَكَ يَا عُمَرْ إِلَّمْ يَغْطِلْ لَكَ رَبُّكَ. That woe be to you, Umar, if your Rabb does not forgive you. With all the accolades, with all the guarantees, with everything to his name, but still right to the last moment, the worry and concern for the forgiveness of Allah, the worry and concern that his iman was not complete, iman was not true, what will be my condition in akhirat? So this was the common quality in Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that worry for the iman. What is the condition of my iman? If I have to leave at this moment, what will be my condition in akhirat? Every one of us in the same road, same journey, same destination, akhirat. None of us know when we're going to go. Healthy or sick, young and old, rich or poor, anyone can go at any time. No one has any guarantee. Allah does not need an excuse to take us. Allah doesn't need a person to become sick for his life to be taken. Allah doesn't need a person to meet an accident for his life to be taken. Allah Ta'ala can take a person as he is, hale and hearty, in a foot condition, Allah can take him away. None of us has any guarantee. This could be our last day. This could be our last hour. This could be our last minute. This could be our last moment. And our time could be up. So how that worry and concern at all times, what is the condition of my iman? If my life has to be taken now, what will be my condition in the qabr? What will be my condition when I stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Constantly that worry and concern, I'm speaking for myself, constantly worry and concern, that what is the condition of my iman? If my maut comes now, am I ready to meet Allah? Am I ready to answer the question in the qabr? Am I ready to cross the pool sirat? Am I ready to stand in front of Allah ta'ala to answer regarding my life? This constant worry and concern was found in the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, was found in the life of the Akabirin and the pious of the past. Amongst the Tabi'een, there was one person, his name was Ubayd bin Umair, rahimahullah. He was a very, very senior Tabi'i. He was a student of Umar radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, and Aisha radiallahu anha. And his status was so high that even the Sahaba used to sit in his company. Abdullah bin Umar, great Sahabi as he is, used to sit in the company of this Tabi'i. So one day, there was a woman in Makkah Mukarramah, very, very beautiful woman. She asked her husband, do you think there's anyone in Makkah Mukarramah who can resist my temptation? So immediately the husband told her, Ubayd bin Umair, referring to the Tabi'i. So very immodestly, she asked her husband, do you give me permission to go and present myself in front of him to try to seduce him and tempt him? And the husband also foolishly gave her permission. So she went in hijab into the Haram Sharif, to the place where Ubayd bin Umair used to have his dars. And she came on the pretext of asking a question, a dini question. And as she came in front of him, she revealed herself. The narration says her face shone like the moonlight. That's how beautiful she was. But immediately Ubayd bin Umair told her that, oh, the slave girl of Allah, oh, the bondswoman of Allah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she said that, I cannot resist the temptation. I have to fulfill the haram act with you. So immediately Ubayd bin Umair told her, I will pose few questions to you. If you accept, if you answer these questions correctly, then you will see what happens next. So the first question he posed to her, that if Malakul Maut, and these questions were posed to her, but they are posed to us now, myself firstly, if Malakul Maut has to come to at this moment to take your soul away, will you be ready to carry out this act? So this woman says immediately, never, I will never be ready to carry out this act. So he told her, you have spoken the truth. Second question, when you go in the grave, and Munkar and Nakir come to question you, Man Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? Ma Adinuk, what is your religion? Ma Taqulu fi hadha rajul, what do you say regarding this person, regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? At that moment, will you be ready to do this act? He said, never, I will never be ready to do it. You have spoken the truth. Third question, when you will come out of the qabr on the day of Qiyamah, and when the book of deeds are being distributed, and you are not sure whether you will get your book of deeds in your right hand, which is a sign of success, or you will get your book of deeds in your left hand behind your back, which is a sign of failure, at that moment will you be ready to do this action? He said, no, I'll never be ready to do it. He said, you have spoken the truth. Fourth question, when the deeds are being weighed on the day of Qiyamah, and you are not sure whether your book of your deeds are going to, your scale of good deeds are going to be weightier, or your scale of evil deeds are going to be weightier, at that moment will you want to do this act? He said, no, never, I'll never be ready to do this act. He said, you have spoken the truth. Fifth question, when you are going to cross the Sirat, the bridge over Jahannam, and you are not sure whether you're going to fall into Jahannam, or you're going to pass successfully, safely into Jannah, at that moment will you be ready to do this action? He said, no, never, I'll never be ready to do this action. He said, you have spoken the truth. Sixth question, when on the day of Qiyamah you are going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at that time, respected elders and brothers, there will be no one else with us. The hadith says, لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانِ. There will be no interpreter on that day between a slave of Allah ta'ala and Allah ta'ala. No contacts, no friends, no lawyers, no advocates, no one to assist us on that day. Only us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala direct. On that day Allah is going to question us five questions. How you spent your life, how you spent your youth, how you earned your wealth, how you spent your wealth, how much did you practice the knowledge that Allah had blessed you with. On that, at that moment when you are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will you be ready to carry this act? She said, no, I'll never be ready to carry this act. So she, Ubayd bin Umayr told her, O slave girl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are intelligent, Allah grants you understanding, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately she covers herself and she returns back home. As she enters the house, she tells her husband that we have been wasting our life in this world. Now we have to dedicate ourselves to akhirat. And immediately she involves herself in ibadat. Her husband comments, before she met Ubayd bin Umayr, every night I was like a groom in the home. But from that moment, day onwards, now she's only worried about preparing for akhirat and involving herself in ibadat. My respected elders and brothers, these six questions, six powerful questions, we have to pose to ourselves all the time. Anytime some challenge, some fitna, some musibat, some worry, some calamity, something comes in front of us which will distract us from our goal, distract us from akhirat, we have to remind ourselves that these stages of akhirat are awaiting us. Every one of us has to leave this world. Everyone has to go in the qabr. Everyone will have to receive the book of deeds on the day of Qiyamah. Everyone will have to be at the scales on the day of Qiyamah. Everyone will have to cross the full sirat. Everyone will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to prepare for these moments, my respected brothers. Myself, I have to prepare first day. We all have to prepare. Because this is reality. This is not something just a fairy tale, something imagination. This is real. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will repeat these words in the morning when you wake up. That Jannat is haq, Jahannam is haq, the scale is the haq, all the aspects of akhirat are reality. This world is not real. This world is fake. Allah Ta'ala has called it fake. Allah Ta'ala has called it lahu wa la'ib, play and amusement, mata'ul ghurur, goods of deception, mata'ul qalil, little goods, little enjoyment, not real. Reality is akhirat. Wa inna al-akhirat, wa inna dar al-akhirat lahiya al-hayawan. The real life is life of akhirat. So the first worry and concern has to be our iman. What is the condition of my iman? The more we have worry and concern for our own iman, and together with that the worry and concern of the iman of every human being, how every single person can be safe on the fire of Jahannam, how every single person can enter the Jannah. So that worry every single day has to push us, has to make us make effort. Every day we have to speak about Allah. Our elders say 25 times every day we have to speak about Allah's greatness. So that the incorrect yaqeen in the heart to our involvement in dunya, the incorrect yaqeen has crept into our heart. How we can take it out of the heart, scrape this incorrect yaqeen out of our heart, put the correct yaqeen in our heart. Every day we have to speak about Allah, that Allah is my creator, Allah is my sustainer, Allah is my nourisher. Everything belongs to Allah. The conditions that we see around us belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Night and days, to the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, health and wealth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respect and disgrace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything we have to attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where we see it coming from, we have to negate it coming from there. It's not coming from there. We have to affirm that it's only coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah ta'ala wills will happen. What Allah ta'ala will never happen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. We heard last night in the bayan also, even to the young Sahaba, young Sahabi Abdullah bin Abbas, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him iman. This yaqeen has to come. Ma asabak lam yakun liyukhtiak. Whatever afflicted you could never have missed you. وَمَا أَخْطَعَكْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُسِيبَكْ. What missed you could never have affected you. This yaqeen has to come. Nothing is by chance. Nothing by mistake. Nothing is... It just happened like that. Everything has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How the yaqeen can come. Everything that we see around us is happening only with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first yaqeen that will come. Yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the being of Allah. On the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything. Allah ta'ala is most powerful. Allah ta'ala is all seeing. Allah ta'ala is all hearing. Everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can move, nothing can stop moving except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second yaqeen is to have yaqeen on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that only in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is success. No other way, there is no other guaranteed way of acceptance in the court of Allah except the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to sleep at night, how every amal, every action of mine can conform to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My eating, my sleeping, my drinking, my walking, my talking, my interaction with my family, my interaction with others, my life in my home, my life out of the home, my life in the masjid, my life out of the masjid, every moment to come according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the greatest command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our salah. That how every day we can have worry and concern. What is the condition of my salah? Is my salah the same as it was when I was a young child? Or has my salah changed? Every day worry and concern. The postures to become better. The consideration to become better. The shock and the desire to increase. The amount of salah I read. And the shock and desire to increase the length of my salah to come every day in my life. That what is my ta'alluq with Allah? The ulama ikram says that to gauge a person's ta'alluq with Allah, we can gauge the person's level of his salah. How much desire he has to read salah, to turn to Allah ta'ala through salah will be a means of determining what is his ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every day, the correction of my salah, the increase of my salah, the length of my salah, the concentration, every day you have to worry about it. Together with this, as our elders were encouraging us, and every year they're encouraging us, but it's a reminder for us that worry and concern for the ilm of deen. Now what is the level of the knowledge that I have? Do I know what Allah Ta'ala wants from me? When I'm in a masjid, what I should do? When I'm at home, what should I do? When I'm in a business place, what should I do? My whole 24 hour life to come according to the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW, I have to learn about my deen. We cannot suffice of what we learned when we were children. Every moment of our day and life has to come in conformity to the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is the ilm of deen we have to learn. One is the ilm of masail. We have to go to the ulama ikram. Appreciate the amount of ulama that we have in our midst. Many people in the world did not have access to ulama ikram. Allah has given us abundance of ulama ikram. Together with that, the ilm of fadail. This is muqaddam. This is the first ilm. That every amal we do, what is the reward we will get? Every amal to be done with yaqeen. Every amal to be done with ihtisab. To have yaqeen on the reward and to have hope for that reward. Keep the reward in front. Together with this, the zikr that is required is whatever knowledge we have to put into practice. The daily zikr that we are encouraged to do, this is to create that dhyan and concentration, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the asal zikr is our ita'at has to come into our life. Whatever knowledge we have, how our life can come according to that knowledge. Every moment of our day, according to the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And respected Ali and brothers, in this world we are not living alone. We are living with people, how we can fulfill the rights of every person. Especially the rights of the Muslims. Person who has iman, he has high and great status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Harming a believer has very disastrous consequences in akhirat. So how that worry and concern to fulfill the right of every believer. To fulfill him, his right because of the iman in his heart. To look at him with the eye of hidayat. Have worry and concern for his akhirat. To fulfill his rights. Every right of his to fulfill. And every amal of ours, how to do it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person will come on the day of Qiyamah with great amal, but because the niyat was incorrect, his amal will not be accepted, his amal will be rejected. The person of great amal on the day of Qiyamah, because not having the correct niyat, will be used to ignite the fire of Jahannam. This is how severe, doing great amal not sufficient to correct the niyat before the action, during the action, at the end of the action. and my respected elder brothers, this health, wealth, and time that Allah has blessed us with, a great amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has purchased it in the share of Jannah. Allah ta'ala is looking at how we are using it. Are we using it according to what Allah desires, or using it according to our whims and fancies? However, our health, wealth, and time can conform to the way of, to the command of Allah, to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How this health and time can be used for the upliftment of deen, our own deen firstly, and at the same time the deen of the entire ummah. Each and every person can be saved from the fire of Jahannam. Each and every person can enter the Jannah. For this Allah ta'ala has blessed us with this Mubarak effort. How we can put ourselves forward. How we can come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. What sacrifice they made. What effort they made. No obstacle in front of them prevented them from striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They made an effort and they strove in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what the condition was, no matter how difficult the condition was, they strove in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how this worry and concern comes to us, how we can also make an effort to strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first given opportunity, so how my iman can become correct, my amal can become correct, my akhlaq can become correct, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can accept me as a means of hidayat for mankind. So respect, anyway, let's make niyat inshallah. We just came back from the jor now, that worry and concern that Allah have for us and for our country, how the level of the work can increase. This demands sacrifice. Nothing in this world can we get without sacrifice. Similarly, iman, which is the greatest bounty, which will determine a person's success in akhirat, this also requires sacrifice. So let's make niyat, inshallah. Those who have not spent 4 months, let's make niyat, inshallah. First, give an opportunity 4 months. Those who have spent 4 months, takaza, 4 months, pedal. We need a jamaat as soon as possible to come out. 4 months foreign, like this year, the year is coming to an end, how we can make niyat also for maximum amount of chilla jamaat to come out. Let us make niyat, inshallah. عمر ما شاء الله عمر فاروق ما شاء الله سليم ما شاء الله ميكائيل خالد عبد الرحمن آدم ما شاء الله الله يكسب. Keep making it. Let us not deprive ourselves from the opportunity of making it. ما شاء الله سيأوني الله ما شاء الله شكرا ما شاء الله جبر عبد اللطيف ما شاء الله زكريا ما شاء الله عبد المجيد ما شاء الله. Keep making niyat inshallah. Each one of us does not deprive ourselves. Hamza ما شاء الله مولانا عمير ما شاء الله. Keep making niyat. The opportunity of making niyat, we do not know a day will come, we will not have the opportunity of making niyat. Now we got the opportunity, let us make niyat. We do not know when we will be accepted. From this member, one of our elders told us there was one brother, he kept making niyat every Friday, and one Friday when he made niyat, and when he was taken one side for tafakkur, he started to cry. So that elder who was sitting with him, that zimidar said to him, asked him, why are you crying? He said, 8 years have passed, and we're continuously making niyat for 4 months. Now the opportunity has arrived for me to go for 4 months. So we do not know which moment is the moment of acceptance. Which pious person is gathering through his barakah, through his presence, through his ikhlas, our niyat will get accepted. So you should keep making niyat. Many students are here from the madrasa also. Let us make niyat. Ramadan holidays are coming. End of our madrasa life, 1 year in the path of Allah. Let us make niyat, inshallah. Allah will accept us for our countries. Allah will take us in the whole world for the effort of His deen. Let us make niyat, inshallah.